I'll call the meeting to order. Welcome to the meeting of the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee. Sandy, would you please call the roll?
Board Chair Dennis Barsima.
Here.
Trustee John Butler.
Here.
Trustee Nathan Hayes.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero.
Here.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Here.
Trustee Eric Wazowitz.
Here.
Committee Chair Tim Struthers.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brady, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that an appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Mr. Committee Chair, we reached quorum and appropriate notices have been provided by the university.
Thank you. You have before you the meeting agenda. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of November 15, 2018?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Carried. Thank you. I do not have any introductory comments at this time. We have a full agenda, so we'll keep moving. At this time, I'd also recognize the members of representing the University Advisory Committee that are present, and there's a handful of folks back there, so I'll just open it up to any and all who would have comments for this committee.
Thank you. Holly Nicholson, President of Operating Staff Council. Just wanted to express that I've heard a lot of gratitude over the last couple of weeks over the consideration of employee and student safety for the closures, for the weather closures. And people have thought that that was handled really well. So I wanted to express that. People are very appreciative of that. Separate and apart from that, not to take away from the appreciation, there have also been some issues with the odd closure times that have been created with time reporting, and so I'll probably be bringing those up the chain eventually. Thank you.
Appreciate the comments, and surely the weather on a day-to-day and hour-to-hour basis has created a challenge for any and all, right? Yeah, thank you. Mr. Brady, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with the state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Committee Chair, I have not received any requests. I'm looking to the recording secretary just to confirm she has not received any. Okay. We have not received any timely requests.
Okay. Good. Impressive time management so far. So at this point, I would ask Vice President and CFO Sarah McGill to present the university financial update. Sarah.
Thank you, Trustee Struthers. I'm going to draw attention to page 11 and talk through the table that was provided. This contains the fiscal year 19 second quarter financial summary. Information is presented as of December 31st, 2018. In support of the mid-year checkpoint, I'd like to note the following points and draw your attention to the column on the rightmost side of the screen. As we look forward and anticipate through the second half of the year, we expect to end the year at a positive position of $1.8 million. Again, this is our annual budget. Revenue is expected to be approximately $13.9 million short of budget, and expenses will be $15.8 million better or lower than that budget amount, which then yields us with that better than budget performance. We thank the NIU community for their mindfulness and their continued commitment to managing expenses aligned with our revenue projections. Drilling into a little detail to support those anticipated year-end numbers. We are anticipating that revenues are forecasted to be short of budget, again, $13.9 million. This excludes the state of Illinois appropriation amount, and that would bring us approximately $1.7 million below last year's revenue total. We're encouraged to report that core tuition and student fees are slightly above our prior period. So as we look at the prior fiscal year, we're seeing that core tuition and student fees are higher. We are realizing, however, a shortfall of our gifts, grants, and contracts area of about $13 million just due to unrecognized revenue. We're pleased to see as we transition to the expense side, that revenue and sales is slightly above budget by $1.9 million. This is a result of an increase in sales as we think to an agenda item that's upcoming related to our dining operations on campus, our dining sales. We're seeing an increase to our overall sales category. As mentioned previously, expenses are performing better than budget. We will note that expenses are higher than if you would look at this time in the prior fiscal year. We expected this as campus is working to respond to deferrals made in previous years due to the budget impasse. Total expenses, again, are less than budget, primarily tied to deferring capital repairs. We note that reductions in this category are just deferments, and we will likely have to account for them in future years. Our budget plans, as we look ahead to fiscal 20 and beyond, do take this into account as we start to put forward a plan to make progress on our deferred maintenance needs. Expenses in the remaining categories are expected to end the year better than budget due to effectively controlling expenses in order to keep up with trends on the revenue side. I will transition now, unless there are any comments on our budget report. I will transition to what this means as we look ahead to our year-end financial statements and reporting on a GAAP basis. So if we move forward, please, to page 12. If we look at the information presented on the table, we see that at the end of the second quarter, we see an estimated increase of $128 million to our net position based on where we are with our mid-year results. However, it's important to note that as we look to and forecast to our end-of-year performance and consider the forecasted net revenue mentioned earlier of $1.8 million, and take this alongside the reference to the estimated depreciation expense and debt servicing of about $17.7 million. These two entries will result in a decrease to our expected net position at the end of this fiscal year. So as we think about where we expect to end the year from a net revenue perspective, our net position will decrease from $191 million to approximately $174 million. I'd like to note, and it's important to recognize, that this reduction is a result of depreciation and is not a result of our operational performance. But as we look forward to the rest of the year, wanted to note this. So as we think about budget and we think about what to expect from our audited financials, we're mindful of the two impacts. Happy to take any questions or comments.
I would just add one comment, and I appreciate the reconciliation piece at the end. If we put that in terms of what the audit would report, that would be roughly an $18 million deficit on the financials, and our net equity position would decline by that amount. And the question always is around depreciation, is it real or not? It's an accounting entry, but the reality of it is that it is in time. It's just a matter of when you have to recognize that. So as we look forward to creating a sustainable budget, we will surely create reporting that will be consistent with recognizing the demands of depreciation that at some point in time has to be reckoned with, right? So. Again, real maturity in the advancement of these reports, and especially as you look forward, is great work. Thank you. So that concludes the financial update. Now we'll move on to a host of university recommendations, and Sarah will lead us through the action items.
Thank you. We have a few items. The first three items on the agenda follow up on a conversation we had in an earlier committee meeting regarding our dining strategy and investments needed to move forward with the continued deployment of the dining strategy. So I will reference data points that had been made earlier in our morning. Moving forward with agenda item 8A, the Stevenson Complex, the franchise agreement approval. As we discussed earlier, enhancing the existing dining experience in the Stevenson Residential Complex is an important and crucial step in increasing the overall attractiveness and amenities of the Stevenson Complex for student recruitment and retention, and implementing enhanced meal plan options across campus for fall 2019. The selected franchise brand, it's expected to be a nationally branded sandwich shop, will complement the overall meal plan options for students across campus. We expect to enter into a contract not to exceed 10 years, and will pay a royalty payment based on the amount of actual sales. Royalty payments, as we again discussed earlier, will be made from our auxiliary operations account. And I would like to note there's a calculation provided in the document. We reference a royalty payment of $250,000 in sales times a 5% royalty payment for 10 years. My apologies, that $250,000 in sales should actually read $500,000 in sales. So if you look forward to an estimated $500,000 in sales, multiply that by the 5% royalty payment over 10 years, it still yields the $250,000 number referenced. We just had a math error, so I apologize for that, but want to note that so that that reads correctly. And as we look forward to the recommendation, Board of Trustees approval is requested to enter into a franchise agreement with a selected firm for a term not to exceed 10 years. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at the special meeting on February 7th, 2019.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next item.
Agenda item 8B, Stevenson Complex. This is in support of the franchise agreement we just approved to look at renovating the dining area capital project request. This project will renovate the existing dining areas in the Stevenson Residential Complex to enhance the dining experience at the Stevenson Residential Complex and augment the options to be available under the new meal plans intended for deployment in fall 2019. The proposed renovations convert the existing dining and dog pound deli areas into a grill station, a pizza station, and a franchise nationally branded sandwich shop and convenience store. Funding not to exceed $450,000 will be provided by auxiliary reserve accounts. The project investment is expected to have a simple payback of approximately 3 years based on conservatively estimated sales. At this time, the university requests authorization to proceed with work orders. All necessary contracts with consultants, contractors, and suppliers is necessary to complete the project. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at the special meeting on February 7th, 2019.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation? Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Dennis.
What bad thing happens to us if we don't do this? If we don't remodel that food area, does that prohibit us from attracting a national franchise into it? Or?
It would negatively impact our ability to offer the variety of restaurants, the variety of food options that we're looking at. So we're looking at taking the existing structure, and I apologize that we don't have schematics, but we're available for the committee to review. We're looking at taking the existing layout and creating more of a food court concept, and the renovations we're proposing would allow us to allow that type of layout. It would be difficult to accommodate the different types of venues without it.
Further discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next item.
Moving forward to 8C, in continuing the dining strategy theme, the Home Student Center Phase 1 Redevelopment Capital Project Amendment. So the Board of Trustees approved the Home Student Center Phase 1 Redevelopment Project with a budget of $20 million at the regular meetings held in June 2016. This was in support of design authorization, and in December 2017, in support of construction authorization. Subsequently, at the August 2018 Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee meeting, the university reported that the construction bids received were higher than anticipated. Value engineering efforts were employed to capture cost savings, which allowed the construction contracts to proceed, but the university is now requesting additional funding to move forward with the essential components of the project. This includes the renovations required for a food venue build-out and maintenance of the budgeted contingency reserves. Specifically, we're seeking approval for $900,000 from auxiliary reserves to continue with the food venue build-out and increase the construction contingency. We expect that the food venue would be approximately $450,000, which would then allow us to replenish our contingency with the remaining $450,000. Upon approval, the university will make the appropriate amendment request to the IBHE at their March meeting. At this time, the university requests authorization to amend the project budget to proceed with work orders, all necessary contracts with consultants, contractors, and suppliers as necessary to complete the work. The university recommends that the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at the special meeting on February 7th, 2019.
And we have a schematic, is that right, of this work? Might be effective. I'll just take a look at that now and have a little further explanation.
So this schematic represents the layout of the main floor of the Home Student Center, and we are illustrating this to remind the committee, I believe it was some time ago that this was made available, remind the committee of what the layout will look like following the construction. Important to note that this is the main floor, the lower level, if you will. On the first floor, which is not represented, we will continue to have Ellington and the College Grind. The fourth venue that's in that, right above the Husky Grill, if you will, that is the location that we are specifically requesting the additional funds in support of the build-out.
I see where Starbucks is. Where is the retail restaurant going to go? Is that the fourth venue, or is the fourth venue something different?
So the fourth venue will be another nationally branded franchise that approval was received at a previous meeting to pursue.
Is that the Mexican fast food
yes.
that we're looking to have?
Yes, that'll be in that fourth area.
Oh, okay, so that's what's going into the fourth area. Healthy Mexican.
Fresh and healthy.
Fresh and healthy. Thank you, President. Okay.
We can continue to talk and think about that. Whenever I get the microphone and this topic comes up, I'm wanting to continue to emphasize the desire to express on the outside of this building, right, the inviting energy that will be on the inside, right? So we've got some great things going on the inside. We have some great open venues and open air lighting, glass, that sort of thing to the south. But to the prospective student and their family or the local business person, community member on Lucinda Avenue and such driving by, boy, whatever we can do on the north side and the east side to kind of show the power and spirit that we've got going on inside is really, really important. So we've got some contingency dollars, and I just want to continue to emphasize that I think we lose a lot if we just have that blonde brick, you know, whatever, pretty blah look to that building, which is, you know, this is the epicenter, this is city center, so to speak, for the university, and we want to show that pop. any way we can.
Trustee Struthers, in response to that comment, later in the committee materials, there's a facilities update, and one of the slides represents where there was a cutout made in support of the new north entrance opening, and that really allows for the light to come in. I think at a future meeting, we will likely look at doing a more thorough update to the enhancements.
I saw the pictures. I didn't realize that was on the north side, so great. Bob?
I'd also really encourage us to continue to consider putting an Amazon drop station into here, because as we saw with Christmas time and such, theft of packages was a huge deal on a national basis. And, you know, I would love to give our students a way to get an Amazon package delivered to them safely and securely. So I really encourage us to consider working with or talking to Amazon to see if we can put a drop station in here.
Noted. Thank you.
Bob?
So this project was approved back in 2016 for $20 million. Was the dollars not committed that we're having this additional request for spending now?
The dollars were committed. However, during the construction bid process, the bids came in higher than we anticipated. And we did complete value engineering exercises. However, even with those decisions being made to forego things like new windows, for instance, it still left us a bit short of being able to accommodate the build out in support of the fourth venue. And as we looked at our timeline and our plans, we felt that it would be, we wouldn't be able to achieve all that we wanted to if that fourth venue didn't come online close to the opening of homes. And that's what's causing us to come back for additional funds.
Refresh us as to the schedule, the timeline then for this project.
So the HSC, the build out is currently underway. It is anticipated that construction will conclude close to the end of the calendar year, so sometime around October, November, which will allow us to think about move-in and setup again at the end of the year with support of an opening December, January, February timeline.
And this was the request for the $900,000 amendment is a response to this build-out. Do you anticipate other cost increases?
Specifically for homes, no. We don't anticipate cost increases at this time. Part of that, we're buffering, again, with the ask for $450,000 in contingency funds. This will take our contingency allotment up. We're right around 2% now because of the work in demolition. So by replenishing our contingency, it brings us up closer to, I want to say, about 5%, which, as we've already concluded the demolition period, we feel is a good number that will get us through the remainder of the construction.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
yes, please, John.
What we're approving is $900,000 more than what we previously approved.
Correct. This would bring the entire project budget to $20,900,000 in support of the homes renovations.
I think of this as a change order, in simple terms.
Mm-hmm.
The change up. Yeah. So, let's seek a motion here to approve this recommendation. Then we'll have another opportunity to talk on it. Is there a motion? Is there a second? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next item.
Agenda item 8D, intercollegiate athletics apparel sponsorship package, looking at approval for fiscal years 20 to 26 with options for the out years. NIU Athletics requires team athletic apparel, footwear, and accessories for its 17 men's and women's sports programs, coaches, administrative staff, and support staff on an annual basis, and seeks to enter into an exclusive athletic apparel sponsorship agreement with Adidas. Adidas can outfit all 17 sports programs, will offer the university the best quality merchandise at the most advantageous pricing structure, and offers the university the best overall athletic apparel sponsorship package. To ensure the best discount pricing and the most advantageous sponsorship package offering from Adidas, the initial agreement would be for a 7-year period. This takes us from fiscal year 20 through fiscal year 26, with up to an additional 3 1-year renewal options. For this initial 7-year period of coverage, the maximum anticipated spend is $3.5 million, approximately $500,000 a year. This bid RFP competitive selection has been advertised in the Illinois Public Higher Education Procurement Bulletin. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the item? Dennis.
It says that the first bid that we did failed in April of 18. Why did it fail?
When we reviewed the bids, we did not find what we were looking for. So we proceeded, we pursued an extension of the original agreement with the thought that we would go out to bid at a later date, which is
what led us here. So it wasn't that nobody bid on it?
No, we did receive bids, however.
It's just it didn't meet your conditions.
Correct.
Whatever. They have been. What was our previous? Because there wasn't an amount on the action item as to what we previously have spent on an annual basis. Do we know that?
It has varied over the course of the contract. We anticipate that $500,000 spend level. If you look back at what we did in fiscal 18, it came out to roughly $400,000. In fiscal 17, we were at $405,000. Fiscal 16, our spend was $445,000.
So this seems to be up 15 to 20% or more. Is there a reason why it's higher?
The approval number is consistent. We ask for just a little slightly higher to allow if there's not only the interest from athletics, obviously, but from others.
So that's not saying we're going to spend
$500,000. Oh, no. Yes, and I should note that when we ask for approval, that's allowing us to purchase up to that limit. Okay. It by no means says that that's what we're going to do.
And our prior approvals going back to 17 and 18 were $500,000, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Further discussion? So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next item, please.
All right. With this next item, we are getting into some of our annual contracts. So the items going forward are all in preparation of our fiscal year 20 planning. So agenda item 8E is fiscal year 2020 athletics air charter services for the football team. Athletics requests permission to purchase air travel services for the NIU football team for FY20. The team will fly out of Rockford, Illinois for 5 games. Some of the fiscal year 20 dates and potential opponents for the Mid-American Conference trips are tentative and are to be determined because the conference schedule is not finalized until late February. We're seeking approval for this item a little earlier to, again, allow for the appropriate planning internally. A request for proposal was developed and advertised in the Illinois Procurement Bulletin for fiscal year 19 air charter services for the football team, with the option of renewals for fiscal 20 and 21. Athletics is requesting to initiate the process of renewal with the current vendor, Air Planning. The expected cost in support of the identified games is $550,000. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
I
have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion. Bob.
I will, just for the board's, I guess, information, part of the reason that we're going out of Rockford with these flights is because the DeKalb Airport doesn't have a 139 certificate. Yesterday at the DeKalb County Economic Development Commission, they talked about that and the fact that the airport is working towards getting that certificate, but it won't be in the near future. So there's a reason that we're going out of Rockford, and the local community is trying to address that.
Is it less expensive for us to fly out of Rockford versus O'Hare? Because I know from DeKalb to O'Hare, it's what, an hour's or so drive, but it might be a safer drive because you're on the interstate the whole way versus some back roads.
It's less expensive.
It is less expensive.
And logistically, given the amount of air traffic within and without the O'Hare space, the chance of delays or other changes that would negatively impact academically our team, we're just better off out of Rockford.
And I want to clarify that for air travel, for a New Year's Six Bowl, that expense would be taken up separately, right? Okay. So we don't have to vote on that yet. Veronica, question? Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next item, please.
Agenda item 8F, fiscal year 2020 master agreements, facility open order contract renewals. Master agreements for labor and materials supporting facility repair and improvements are required to be established or renewed for fiscal 20 for various contractors. These agreements provide an important streamlined contractual mechanism to engage companies effectively and efficiently as facility requirements emerge. As the level of deferred maintenance and repair demands on campus continue to increase, the ability to respond quickly when facility failures occur becomes more critical. The amounts listed on the next page are not to exceed limits established for fiscal year 20. These amounts do not reflect a commitment or obligation of spend, but serve as an upper limit for the amount of work that may be requested under these agreements with the identified vendor. As with agreements provided this year, services will be requested on an as-needed basis throughout the fiscal year 20 period and will include appropriate actions to ensure competitive pricing. Any individual orders under these agreements at or above $250,000 will be preceded with a specific project approval request presented to the board. The renewal awards will be advertised on the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. So to reinforce the point, the numbers you see on the following page, those are the upper limits of usage. They do not at all dictate or offer a commitment of spend. It's just the approval that we would be allowed to pursue with that identified vendor. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Veronica.
Are these caps or these max amounts any different from what they were, from what we previously approved? Were there any increases or what have they been for?
So there may be some changes up or down for the vendors listed. I can tell you that we have identified and are asking for approval for a higher number of vendors than we had in the past year. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just providing us capacity so that we are able to respond quickly to needs. As a point of reference, the strategy was very helpful to us during the previous couple of weeks as we were responding to weather emergencies. The ability to have approvals or contracts in place with multiple roofing companies, for instance, as other companies and organizations were no doubt looking for similar services, this ensured that we were able to get who we needed on campus in a responsive way.
Other discussion? John.
Just that I need a roll call vote.
Yep, that's okay. Sandy, we'll need a roll call vote on this.
Board Chair Chair Tim Sparsimo.
Yes.
Trustee John Butler.
Abstain.
Trustee Nathan Hayes.
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Guerrero.
Yes.
Trustee Bob Pritchard.
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz. Committee Chair Tim Struthers.
Abstain.
Thank you.
I'm looking to Mr. Brady to make sure that that carried.
Madam Recording Secretary, could you identify the amount of votes for aye on that? That carries.
Motion carries. Thank you. Next item, please.
Agenda item 8G, fiscal year 2020 consumable commodities open order contract renewals. Commodity purchases for consumable items are required to support the operations of various university departments for fiscal 20. These commonly include materials for cleaning, office supplies, postage, and fuel. The following open order renewals or new agreements will be processed in accordance with the applicable Illinois procurement regulations and advertised as required on the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. As with the previous item, the approval we are seeking will allow us to pursue purchases up to the desired identified amount. It does not contain a commitment that we will spend the identified funding. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation? So we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion. John, we're okay for a voice vote on this, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Next item.
Agenda item 8H, fiscal year 2020, Division of Information Technology Campus Copier Program Contract Renewal. The Division of Information Technology Integrated Media Technologies Program requests permission to issue an order for renewal of the Campus Copier Program consisting of approximately 413 multifunction devices of various configurations. The annual volume of copies is approximately 13 million. This program is provided under a rental agreement based on a flat rate per copy charge, which includes all equipment, toner, and maintenance. Devices are operated with a campus copier card controller system. Peripheral devices such as fax boards and networking cards are included in the contract. This is the seventh year of 9 one-year renewal options based on a proposal opened December 2nd, 2011. The renewal award will be advertised in the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. Funding is requested for $700,000. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation? We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion. Yeah, please. Dennis.
It's nice to see the amount going down on a year-over-year basis. Have we declined on the approval amount due to we're more efficient in our use of copiers, we're doing more things digitally, or less headcount? A combination of all of the above?
Yeah, likely all of the above. As a point of reference, in fiscal 19, we received approval for $880,000. Our expected spend is $700,000. In fiscal 18, our approval ask was $975,000, and our actual spend was a little higher than $750,000. So I think for a lot of good reasons, we're trending now.
Bob,
I think it would be noteworthy that the changes that were made last year resulted in 1,400 printer reduction. Is that correct? And I know that leads to some inconvenience that you don't have a printer right next to your computer, but that is a significant number. And I guess we need to acknowledge the fact that staff might have to do something a little bit extra to go a distance to get a copier, but that has a significant impact on the expenses of the university. So thank you.
We appreciate that. It was a significant change initiative that has really was launched in 2016-17. And although it did require some operational and behavioral changes, which is always difficult to work through, and we appreciate the adoption and the engagement by our campus, it has realized approximately $1.5 million in savings. So it was an exercise in efficiency that we were able to see a payback on.
Thank you. Yep. Echo the comments as well. Impressive results. I would be interested in looking back at what our projections were when we approved this. It was a pretty hotly contested item at the time, for sure, right? And I get the fact that it's a change in behavior, and it'd be great to get a little sense of what the, you know, kind of the, how that's all settled in. But my guess is people have adapted to the new environment, but not minimizing the fact that there is an extra component of work or whatever there. That said, it'd be kind of interesting, just as a side note, to look back and say, hey, what we thought the reduction in cost was going to be, and then what the actual was. But my guess is we've met or exceeded the expectations.
You know, I appreciate all the trustees, Trustee Pritchard and Trustee Struthers, who've recognized that this was an inconvenience, but it also had a significant savings. I appreciate the ask to go back and look at what we projected. But even though he's not here, I want to echo back to Trustee Wazowicz's comment about change management. Yes. This was a significant change in behavior. The benefit was to the university rather than to any individual division or any individual person. Yes. And I think communicating the impact of making this type of change in terms of other changes that we don't have to make, positive aspects for the environment, and building that type of communication into a change management plan is a lesson that the university learned from this. And going forward, we certainly intend to execute those learnings as we try to do more things efficiently.
Well said, and thank you to everyone in the audience that is, you know, feeling this and doing this right every day. So great work. So we have a motion and a second on the table. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Next item.
Agenda item 8I, fiscal year 2020, Division of Information Technology, Microsoft Enrollment Contract Renewal. The Division of Information Technology requests permission to issue an order for the fiscal year 2020 renewal of Microsoft Enrollment for Education Solutions software for resale during the license period of July 1, 2019 through June 30, 2020. This is the sixth of 9 1-year renewal options based on an award, based on an option which was originally awarded on June 6, 2013. The renewal award would be advertised in the Illinois Procurement Bulletin, and the amount of the award is $400,000. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
I have a motion. Is there a second? Second, discussion on the item. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item.
Agenda item 8J, fiscal year 2020, student health insurance. The university provides group health insurance funded solely by the student health insurance fees to students. Such fees are paid by students and submitted directly to the group health insurance carrier. Students may waive their participation in this plan if they have proof of other comparable health insurance. NIU will be utilizing renewal option 2 out of 5 for a previously issued RFP, which was awarded on April 29th, 2016. The renewal award will be advertised in the Illinois Procurement Bulletin. The amount of the award is $7.75 million. At this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion. John, please.
I have two questions. First, is the wording in the asterisks, fall and winter, spring and summer, those are two discrete periods. The semester, in fact, is the fall and the winter, and the spring and the summer. They're not four separate periods of time.
Correct. We were representing. We probably took it too literally, but we were representing the seasons. So this takes us through the midpoint time of the year, and then the second part of the year is not yet available.
Okay. And then the second question is, why would the renewal award be advertised in the procurement bulletin? I guess I don't understand the process. I'm familiar with the opportunity being advertised, but why would an award be advertised?
I believe we have to communicate, we have to announce that we are exercising our right to pursue the renewal.
Okay.
Am I correct in understanding that that this contract is done in consortium with other public universities, and we tie through a buying group, or am I completely miss?
That is an option that some institutions pursue. That is not how we secure our student health insurance. This is a contract that NIU solely pursues on our own.
Okay. Yes, Dennis, please.
Can you give us some words, or somebody give us some words on what is renewal option two out of five, and why did we pick renewal option two versus renewal option three?
I'm sorry, it's likely a wording, so this is year two out of a five-year arrangement.
Oh, okay, so that's not, yeah. We have different renewal options available to us, and we selected number two. Okay, so this is in annual.
Right, okay. I'm sorry, yep.
Okay.
Other conversation. Okay. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item.
Fiscal year 2020 International Programs Division Expenditures. Northern Illinois University's International Programs Division is given an annual authorization for expenditures for foreign study programs. All expenditures are made from payments received from the approximately 400 students expected to enroll in these programs. Costs include travel, overseas instructional and administrative services, room and board, and local tuition. Expenditures never exceed revenues. Once program enrollments are determined, payments are made immediately to secure and guarantee registration, accommodation, and other program-related costs. Due to many variables, including actual number of enrollees in each program, program choices, and currency fluctuations, the amount of the authorization needed for specific programs is unpredictable. Consequently, aggregate expenditure authority is requested, which then allows the International Program Division to secure specific program and group arrangements. So we are seeking approval for $2 million in support of programming in fiscal year 20. And at this time, the university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on March 7th, 2019.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation? We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion on the item. Please, Veronica.
I don't have fiscal year 19 complete numbers yet. I have complete numbers for fiscal year 18, and that was at approximately $1.2 million.
Okay. I'm not questioning it. I think it's a great thing to do, but just was curious.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
So did we ask for too much last time, and we didn't spend it, and that's why we're asking for $1 million less?
Yeah, we're trying to be, in response to feedback, we're trying to be more responsible with our budgeting and align our ask to usage while allowing the appropriate flexibility for operations to continue. So as we're seeing numbers trend in a certain direction, we're adjusting our approval requests accordingly.
Have we gone through an exercise in this area where we've looked at the international programs that we have, and we're starting to understand usage and eliminating some that aren't being used?
I'll ask the provost to comment.
We have regularly do this, and we find regularly that international programs will ebb and flow based on student demand, based, if I may say so, on world events, but also based on more local things. An individual faculty member often drives a particular program very much by their own interest, enthusiasm, and recruiting. And so as their efforts come and go, grow and shrink, we're constantly adjusting our programming.
My thought is not germane at all to the recommendation here, not a finance committee item, but would be interested in seeing the trends of what the study abroad number census looks like over time. Just as a side note.
Certainly.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on the table. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed. Hearing none, the motion carries. On to university reports. Sarah.
Sure. So items 9A through 9D are presented as...
Excuse me, sir. Can I just ask
a
quick question? Was there a presentation we were supposed to get on student health? Because I thought I saw a quick slide up there, and then it got taken down.
We had some informational items in case it would have been helpful to the discussion related to usage.
I mean, just for knowledge purpose, I'd love to see it if that's possible. Yeah.
So if we could go back to that slide.
Right, I know we've already voted, but it would just from a learning standpoint, I would appreciate the learning experience.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we had referenced in the action item that there are 3,258 students who had purchased coverage. So we wanted to provide just some information in support of that number and really identify that as you look at the total number of students on campus, the amount of students who purchase our student health insurance, it is a significant, it's a population we need to be mindful of, to be sure, but it represents a portion of our overall student population. And when you look at approximately the 3,200 students who purchase coverage, only about 1,800 students actually use that coverage. And as
so if they don't purchase coverage, then they have to give us proof that they have coverage under their parents' plan or some other plan?
Or some other. And as we think about student health insurance going forward, we acknowledge that our ability to control factors impacting the cost of the premium is limited. We understand that there are, to the question from Trustee Struthers, there are different health offerings, consortiums, exchange, self-insured programs. They all have different pros and cons. We have to be mindful of the needs and the capacity of our university, of our students. A significant requirement that we have is that we require coverage for international students. And as we think about other insurance plans, those are sometimes, it is sometimes difficult for international students to go on their own and secure health insurance. We're mindful that our partnership with Northwestern Medicine may have an impact to the utilization of the student health insurance, primarily if we see our students more frequently using the health clinic, they're better able to access services. Presumably that would decrease the number of times they're seeking services from an outside provider and then using their health insurance. That then would be covered through their student health fee. And then we're also mindful that there are some grants that we offer that pay against insurance premiums. So it offers a source of funding for our students. So as we think about the renewal options going forward, we are looking at these considerations, and as we work through that analysis, that will inform how we proceed with perhaps a request for proposal or a request for information that would support a decision or a recommendation for fiscal year 21.
So approximately 60% of the students used the coverage. Is that normal? Is that, are we above average, below average? Do we have a feel for that at all?
You know, that's a good question. We haven't dug into that. There have been conversations about how we better access our data. That would likely be one point we would look at.
Okay, because again, and we don't have to have this conversation now, but it feels like a low percentage to me. Maybe it's not, but I would want to know, is it low because we just didn't get sick, or is it low because the level of service that we were providing, they didn't see value in it, therefore they didn't use us? I know there's no answer to that, yeah.
So, you know, I think that the questions that are occurring to you, Trustee Barsima, are occurring to all the members of the leadership. They're referenced in some way in many of these bullets. Ensuring our population has a lot of different dimensions given the complexity of our student body. We're in a dynamic situation because we're improving what student fees cover so much. And we need to figure out, and the intersection with financial aid is significant, and we need to really understand that and student preferences as well. So we had a leadership conversation on this within the last month, where we felt that the coming year, before it would be time to revisit this, was an excellent opportunity to try to be more data-informed about the choices students are making with respect to utilization, the changing patterns that result from the Northwestern agreement. It's, you know, going back to what Trustee Struthers asked, Dr. Streb and I have raised with the presidents and chancellors of public universities a number of times, is there interest in doing something consortially? And the feeling to date has been that each public university has a different student population, and amortizing risk across all of them is beneficial for some and not beneficial for others. And it hasn't been a conversation that's moved forward. The opportunity this coming year to look for partners, to look at other consortia, those are all things we're very interested in doing as part of controlling costs and maintaining service to all of our students.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good. I appreciate the added discussion. This is something that we went through relatively quickly. It's a very important, you know, topic with respect to the service, but also the cost. And it's clear that we're not taking this lightly. So thank you for the added commentary. University reports.
Sure. So items 9A through 9D are presented as written updates for informational purposes. Included are updates on the university's investment portfolio, which indicate that we are realizing the benefit of higher interest rates, and we saw our investment portfolio grow because of that, among other factors. Also includes summaries on our procurement actions, our transaction reporting, along with the facilities initiatives update through December 31st, 2018. Also included is the Gene Cleary Disclosure of Campus Security Police and Campus Crime Statistics Act. This is for calendar year 2017. We're happy to hear questions regarding these items. No discussions or presentations are planned in support of these items, but again, we can respond to questions that may arise.
With that, open it up for questions or comments. Okay, seeing none, we will then move on to item 10 in the agenda. Other matters, are there other matters to come? Oh, the internal audit, I'm sorry, oops. Sorry, Danielle. So item 9E, if you would introduce the topic, Sarah.
Sure, so transitioning to 9E is a internal audit update for fiscal year 18. The Director of Internal Audit, Danielle Schultz, will provide an overview of the internal audit staff and the annual report for fiscal 18.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and trustees. Thank you for the opportunity to present our fiscal year 2018 audit summary. I want to start by reminding the committee of our mission statement. This is important since we have a couple new trustees since the last time I provided an annual report. The standards for the professional practice of internal auditing require that I confirm on at least an annual basis that the internal audit department is independent. In addition, the U.S. Government Accountability Office requires our independence. I would like to take this opportunity to assure you that we are independent and meet all requirements. I have the privilege to lead a staff of 4 full-time audit professionals and 1 graduate assistant auditor. We have several dedicated long-term staff members. However, effective November 1st, we have 1 vacant position. We have been interviewing candidates and hope to fill this position very soon. The internal audit staff are qualified and well-trained, as can be seen by the certifications that they possess. I would like to highlight that all 4 of our full-time current staff members are certified internal auditors, and also congratulate Natalie as she passed this exam as at the time that she was completing her 2-year experience requirement. I would also like to congratulate Sandra for becoming a certified government audit professional during 2018. These certifications enhance the knowledge of my staff and assist in increasing their skills. Staff certifications and annual training have helped to develop specialties such as grant compliance, fraud prevention and detection, student financial aid, and NCAA compliance, just to name a few. Lastly, I would like to highlight the audits that we completed during fiscal year 2018. We completed 21 audits, 1 focused on information systems, 2 were financial, 2 were operational, 5 were considered fraud prevention and detection audits, and 11 were compliance audits. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Danielle. Questions or comments on the audit report? I would just add a narrative that I probably have said in the past, that it's an interesting dynamic here in a public forum with respect to how we talk about the outcomes of the audit. And as I look at it from a private sector perspective, it's one thing to see the audits that were done. It's a very different thing to see what the results of those audits were and what the risk profile of such is or was or is trending, that sort of thing. So the idea that, we're constrained a bit by the confidential nature of the reports, but also surely by the Open Meeting Act limitations. So encourage the idea, and I know you were working on this, right, is to make sure that each of the trustees are informed as to what the risk profile of the audit findings are and the status reports, and then surely your commentary and thoughts on trending dynamics as well, which you're well aware of, I know.
Yep, absolutely. And just to confirm on the record that each of the trustees receives each individual audit report as they're completed. And so it's complete detail of every finding and recommendation, as well as the annual audit report that is a summarization and compilation of all audits that were completed during the prior fiscal year. And that report is provided by September 30 for the prior fiscal year.
Other comments or questions? Okay. Again, thank you, and thank you to the staff. It's a lot of work, and it's very, very important work. It's nice to have that relatively quiet, right, on your front. That's the way we like to have that, for sure. So with that, are there other matters to come before the committee? Seeing none, the next meeting date of this committee will be May 9, 2019. And I would now seek a motion to adjourn. So moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, all in favor, say aye. Aye, adjourned.